St. John chapter 1, 29, and also in verse 36. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And in verse 36, the scripture says, And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. I just simply want to preach from this subject this morning. Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
He is here this morning.
Yes.
He is here. His blood is still in effect.
Yes.
His salvation is still in effect. His forgiveness and healing is still available to those that believe. Jesus, we love you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity once again to minister from your holy word. Let your word fall on good ground. Let it touch every life that is here under the sound of my voice. I take dominion and authority over anything and everything that would be in opposition to your will and your purpose. Let your will be done. Let the kingdom of God continue to be advanced in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to see Brother Jared Cheshire back there. You may be seated. He just walked in. Amen. Good friend of mine going all the way back to high school. We used to pray together during lunch period, developed a close relationship, and it's a friendship that is still going to this day. Amen. Good to see him this morning. In the Old Testament, the Israelites sacrificed lambs at the Passover feast for the purpose of offerings. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ became that Lamb of God who would give his life as a sacrifice for the sins of not only Israel, but the entire world. This title given to Jesus, the Lamb of God, bespeaks him the great sacrifice by which atonement is made for sin and man becomes reconciled unto God. It is not possible to become reconciled to God without the sacrifice of the Lamb. No wonder John said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. John's baptism was only in repentance. But John recognized Jesus as the Lamb, as the one who people would not only become baptized, but their sins would totally be remitted and washed away by the power of the blood that he shed at Calvary. He already recognized him before the sacrifice came into effect. What was happening? Why did John recognize him before Jesus became the sacrifice? Because he already knew through the Spirit of his sacrifice, through the blood that was shed upon the cross, that people would receive forgiveness, that people would receive remission of sins when they go down in the water in the name of Jesus. And their sins would not only be forgiven, but they would be forever erased and taken away in their lives. There was only one Lamb that had such power. There was only one Lamb that had such ability. There was only one Savior that could do such a thing, and that is Jesus Christ, who is still the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the entire world.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
And so the title was given to Jesus, the Lamb. As we consider every legal sacrifice made in the Old Testament, he chose to allude to the lambs that were offered, not only because a lamb is an emblem of meekness. That's the thing that we have to keep in mind and consider. He made himself of no reputation. He did not come into the world putting everyone on notice with a bold announcement through a heavenly and earthly PA and saying, "I'm here." He did not make, he made himself absolutely of no reputation. He entered the world very meek. He entered the world very humble. He entered the world very unassuming. He entered into the world and into our lives as a servant with the approach and with the attitude, "What can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I serve you?" He did not place a bunch of demands and expectations upon the people of that generation and of that time. He did not have a long list of requests and expectations. In our modern day, some important person, they would fly into DFW and they would say, "I want a limousine with such and such. I want everything that comes in the limousine. And I would like a 5-star hotel. And I would like this and I would like that. I have breakfast at such and such time. I have lunch at such and such time, and you better not be late. I have dinner at such and such time, and this is, and if you fail to meet these expectations, you're fired." Not Jesus. He came into the world to serve. He came into the world to give himself. He was not rude. He was not assuming. He was not belligerent. He was not overbearing. He did not put people in a situation where they felt uneasy. He was very giving of himself. He was very giving of his time. He was never too busy for the little children. He even went out of his way and took a detour into Samaria because he knew that there was a need. He knew that there was a woman that had an issue and that had a need in her life.
My.
He went out of his way. But yet, there's not a long list of criteria that he leaves for us to be able to come to him. And I feel the Holy Ghost speaking to me this morning. as he spoke to me in the office before church, and as he spoke to me throughout the course of this week, if my people would only believe, my blood can cover anything. My blood can cover anything in their lives. My blood can take care of anything. My blood can address any issue, because I am still the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I've come to tell you today, his ministry did not end at the Jordan River. His ministry did not end at Capernaum. His ministry did not end in Jerusalem. His ministry did not end on the cross. It's still alive. It's still in effect. It is still working. It is still operating. He wants to prove the role of the Lamb of God in somebody's life this morning. So, if he entered the world very meek, very humble, very meager, very soft-spoken, very unassuming, then how am I expected, how are we expected this morning to approach him? If you have come today with the attitude that God owes you something, he will not play the role of the Lamb of God in your life. But if you've come here this morning with the attitude and with the spirit, my heart is bleeding. My heart is hurting. I have this sin in my life that I feel guilt and I feel condemnation from. My soul feels vexed. I am under a complex of guilt and shame. And there's no other one that I can turn to this morning but Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold this Jesus of Nazareth. He is here. He is among us. He is working. He is moving. He is operating. If somebody would believe and receive him. Thus Jesus Christ becomes a lamb led to the slaughter. In contrast, the daily sacrifices which was offered every morning and evening continually. The sacrifice was always a lamb, which is a type of Christ, as an everlasting propitiation whose blood continually speaks, whose blood continually flows, whose blood did not stop 2,000 years ago, but it's still flowing today. The Holy Ghost would have me tell someone this morning that I was not just the Lamb of God for that generation. I'm still the Lamb today. I can still heal today. I can still deliver today. I can still restore today. I can still rebuild sins today. I can still rebuild situations today. Amen. The paschal lamb, the blood of which being sprinkled on doorposts secured Israel from the powerful blow of the death angel. Jesus also becomes our Passover. Undoubtedly, he is the Lamb of God. He is appointed by him and devoted for him, for he is God. And he was accepted of him, and him he was well pleased. He is given the title and made atonement for all of the sins of the world. Just think about it for a minute. We have trouble enough with our own sin when we know we have sinned ignorantly or obviously. When we know that there is a sin that we've committed in our lives that has totally gone against our consciousness, our conscience, our principles, and our convictions. And because of that, we feel violated. The purity of our hearts become violated. And we feel within ourselves a guilt that we cannot shake. And then it becomes a burden. Even though God forgives us of us, it drags on us. It pulls on us. And Satan often reminds us of it. We feel the pressure of that sin upon our heart, upon our spirit, upon our emotions. It's like a big, huge weight. A big, huge weight that we would feel from a physical force in life. But yet Jesus took on the sins of billions and billions of people. Not just in that generation, but in the generation to come. And he felt it. He took it all with him to the cross. He did not only take what he was enduring in his body, what he was suffering physically at that moment, the great drops of blood that were pouring from his flesh. He did not only feel the initial burden of what he felt, but he felt the sins of the entire human race, of that generation, and many more generations that were to follow. Imagine how guilty that one person feels for an area of our life that we violated. And even though we have forgiveness, that sin, that sin, we're reminded of it. Now imagine how Jesus felt. I'm not capable, and you're not capable of carrying the sins of everyone on planet Earth. But yet a man humbled himself to the point of death, crucified, mocked, scourged, forced to wear a crown of thorns, blood and water flowing freely from his body, slapped, hit, accused. So many things that happened. The dramas that we see doesn't even give it justice. The books that we read don't even come close to what Jesus really had to suffer. His very visage was marred. He was beaten and abused so severely that you could not even recognize him. Too weak to carry his own cross. Beaten with the cat of nine tails 39 times that ripped away his flesh and exposed the organs of his body. And for decency's sake, they show him on the cross wearing just a little bit of clothing, but make no mistake, he was exposed to all humanity. Embarrassment, but yet he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them! Loose them. Let them go. He became a broken lamb for us. How can we be moved if we're not moved by the reality of this Jesus that suffered and bled and died can I not be moved? How can a church not be moved? How can this whole generation not be moved if we be moved if we're not moved by the death of the cross, by His sacrifice? But yet, we continue to fall prey to the suggestions of Satan. And then he always has an opportunity to come back and forgive us. Intentionally or not intentionally. It could be anything from the sin of adultery to missing our time of prayer. We may not know that we're doing it. We're certainly not trying to do it. But we take the whip. And we beat them. Your sacrifice was not good enough. What you did at Calvary was not good enough. What you did for me, Jesus, wasn't sufficient enough. No, we're not saying it with our words, but we're saying it with our motives and with our actions. We're beating Him all over again. He already became the Lamb of God. He already suffered. He already bled and died, but we're beating Him again. With our attitudes, with our criticism, with our gossip, with our slander, with sins in our life that we do not even know about. We're beating Him! I've been guilty of it. Other preachers have been guilty of it. Oh yes, we've repented. We've made things right with God. But even the little things that we do, we keep beating Him. And He already became the Lamb. Why does He have to endure any more beating or any more abuse or any more suffering or any more sacrifice? Behold, He already has become the Lamb of God. He already has become that spotless Lamb that taketh away the sins of the entire world. Do you love Him today?
Yes.
Do you love Him today? Surely someone in the building loves Him today. Are we moved by the message of Calvary anymore? Or have we become used to it? Have we become numb to it? I'm telling you right now, if I had to travel 4 hours for just one soul that needs a touch of the blood upon your life, I'm telling you, it's worth all of the miles. It's worth everything. The blood. This blood is for you. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That includes the sins in Athens, Texas. That includes the sins that are in this building. That includes every lie that we've told. That includes the issues, covetousness, adultery, stealing, lying, murder. Now we have not murdered somebody physically, but some of us have committed spiritual murder with our tongues. Oh, we've made it right. Everything between us and the individual is clear. But the reality is, we took the whip out. We beat Him. But yet He still is the Lamb of God. He had all of the right in the world to retaliate against the Romans. He was God. He could have destroyed them. And I'll tell you something else. He has all the right now to put my soul in hell. And He has all the right to put your soul in hell. But no, He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. His love has never run out. His goodness has never run out. That's not being negative. That's just explaining. That's just breaking down the attributes of who God is, His personality and everything. But on top of all that, He would desire that someone would believe in Him, that someone would follow Him, that someone would render their heart to Him today. Because if you do, His blood will begin to cleanse. His blood will begin to purify. His blood will begin to wash. The Holy Ghost is telling me right now, I see everything that's going on in the church. I see everything that's going on in the spiritual and the physical. My blood covers that also. My blood covers everything. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves that reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. It flows deeper than any ocean. It flows higher than any mountain. It outweighs the world itself. It spreads further than the east is from the west and the north and the south and beyond. It breaks every border of time and of eternity and of the here and of the now. Oh, precious Lamb of God. Oh, precious Lamb of God. Oh, precious Lamb of God that was slain. That was slain. I'm not going to get to finish this morning because I feel His Spirit moving so powerfully right now. So directly right now. The Lamb of God already went to hell. He died on the cross, then He went to hell, and then He came back to earth, and then He went back to heaven. If you're not convinced of anything that I've said this morning, or anything that the Holy Ghost has said, if you're not convinced of what's in that Word, and what He can do for you this morning, I just ask you to consider one thing. He went to hell so that I don't have to go. He went to hell so that you don't have to go. His blood is available. Who believes today? Who believes today? The Holy Ghost spoke to me very directly this week. And He said, I don't only want to forgive people's sin, but I want to take it totally away. I want to wipe it totally clean. I want to represent them, and I want to fight for them, and I want to clear them this morning. Somebody's name is going to be written in heaven today. Not because of what Brother Calk has preached, but because of His forgiveness, because of His love, because of His mercy, and because of His grace. I come to you this morning not as a great theologian. And I don't claim to be a great preacher. I don't claim to be a prophet. And I'm not a man of great education. But I'm just another glorified mud ball that's been saved by grace. When He reached down His hand for me. Let's wait in the presence of the Lord this morning. He wants to do something very significant right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. My dear brother on the back row with the arm. I talked to you this morning at breakfast. My brother on the back next to the back row. God spoke to me. The gentleman that broke your arm. God spoke to me. And He told me that He wants to heal you. All you've got to do is believe in Him. Believe in His blood. He has already gone before you. He wants to heal your body. He takara mahai. If you believe that, my brother, I want you to raise your hand toward heaven. The hand that is strong. He karabaka shatabakari andarabakai. Upon the authority of the Word of God, by the power that is in your name, I just simply speak your blood, the power of your blood to begin to flow through His body right now. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God told me your healing is going to come. I believe it can happen in this service. But if it doesn't happen today, it's going to happen. In Jesus' name. God's not only going to heal your arm, brother, but He's going to heal some other things. He's going to heal some other things. And you are going to know when the healing work is accomplished that it was clearly a work not by a physician and not by man, but by Almighty God. It was not just an accident that took place. It was God working in your life. Ashana makatara mahakarabohoshe. Kitara mahandorobodokoriatara mahandariki asai. Ikandarabodoko shekete anamamandikiti orobohokoriti alamahai. Shandara mandi kiara mahandi ene mahaya. The revelation of His blood and of His love will go beyond these four walls and it will stretch into this city. The revelation of the Lamb of God will come alive in the heart of the people of Athens. The revival and the harvest will take care of itself. Because once that revelation of a man that not only can forgive sins, but take them away. When it is revealed, they will come. They will come. Hashana Makai, I see them now. I see the multitudes. They are coming. They are coming. They're crying out to the Lamb. Forgive me! Have mercy on me. That's it. God wants to speak right now. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Somebody obey the Lord right now. He's wanting to speak. One at a time, please. Man. God's not finished. He has an interpretation. That was a word straight from God. Let us receive it right now. I feel that the Lord wants to speak to us further. The gift of tongues was trying to operate through another vessel here this morning. Whoever you are, I loose you right now in the name of Jesus. Obey the Lord. Somebody obey the Lord. He's not quite finished. We're fixing to have an altar call here in a few minutes, but I need someone to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. He has a few more things that he wants to say. Amen. He's going to give the interpretation. Someone be obedient right now. Not to me, to the Holy Ghost. Someone obey the Lord. Amen. I do not feel released to move from this point until we fully submit to what God has in mind. This is a very sacred time. Please, no talking, moving around, laughing, or anything of that nature. Let's reverence what's going on. Shanamaka. I am still the Lamb of God, and I am here. I am here to perform my will and my good pleasure. I am here today to heal of anxiety, fear, depression. I am here to forgive and take away all sin. Who would believe in me this morning? Who would approach me and try me today? I am the Lamb of God. I am Jesus, and I'll walk this earth. And even though I am not physically here in body, my spirit and my love and my grace and my forgiveness remains to those who would just simply believe and come unto me, saith the Lord. Let's lift our hands in His presence. The word of the Lord has already been spoken. He has spoken two different times. How much more do you need this morning to be convinced and moved and inspired? Let's stand to our feet. Is there anyone that needs a fresh touch of the blood of the Lamb on your life? This altar's open. Amen. Does anyone want to come and pray? Are you feeling guilt this morning? The Lamb is here. Are you feeling condemnation this morning? The Lamb is here. Do you feel like that you have failed God one time too many? The Lamb is here. Are you struggling with fear and anxiety and depression in your life? The Lamb is here. Have you been through a divorce? The Lamb is here. Come on.